Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Turn in your Bibles to John 3, verses 1 through 9. The sermon text is going to be from Psalm 87, but I wanted to read this passage before we get started. John 3, 1 through 9. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" I've always wondered why it was that that Jesus expected him to understand that a man must be born again. And so this morning we're going to look at a passage that possibly is what Jesus had in mind when he said a man must be born again. So if you look on your scripture sheet, the sermon text, Psalm 87, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a psalm. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. Yahweh loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God, Selah. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. Yahweh records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there, Selah. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. So first, I want to ask the question, what Zion is he talking about? Because clearly this passage says that there are some who are born in Rahab, which is a name for Egypt, some in Babylon, some in Philistia and Tyre, with Cush, which is Ethiopia. And he says, this one was born there, meaning born in Zion. So, how can this be? How can they be born in Zion if Zion is in a completely different country? Well, there's apparently two Zions. And we saw some of that in Galatians 4 on that same reading sheet of the scripture sheet. If you look at Galatians 4, look at verse 25. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, meaning the earthly Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. Verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. And when it says she is our mother, that's actually a citation from the Septuagint version of Psalm 87, verse 5, where it says this one and that one were born in her. In the Septuagint, it says that someone will say, Zion, our mother, or Mother Zion. And so he's saying here that the Jerusalem which is above is free. So there's a Jerusalem above and a Jerusalem below. There's the earthly Jerusalem and there's a heavenly Jerusalem. And clearly this passage is talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, because it's saying that these people were born in her who couldn't possibly have been born in her. They were from Egypt and Babylon and Philistia and Syria and so on. Tyre and Cush, I mean. So, the second question I want to ask is, what kind of birth is this? It mentions being born in Zion three times. This stresses the fact that it is not merely a figure of speech or something about these nations that aren't true. It's saying that they were born. They were born in her. Notice it says, it shall be said in verse 5, or in verse 4, it says, they say, this one and that one were born in her. So this new birth was observed. It has observable effects. It changes lives. And it will be obvious. It will be evidenced by new loves and new hates. Which leads me to the third question. Who is being described here? Because if it's new loves and new hates, what are the old hates and the old loves that used to be here? Look at who it's being described. It's describing all nations that will one day worship in the church. All nations are sampled by Egypt, the enemies of Israel. Babylon, the destroyer of Jerusalem. Philistia, the enemies from the west. In fact, Goliath was a Philistine. I don't know if you remember that. But he's citing these nations as the nations that will be born in Zion. Tyre. Turn to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 83, verses 4 through 8, just to give you some background on Tyre. It says, they say, come, let us wipe out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire with one accord against you. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal and the Ammonites, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also has joined them. They are strong. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot, Selah. So here we have just a few psalms back. It's referring to Tyre and Philistia and uniting them with those nations that say, let's wipe out Israel as a nation. And yet he's saying, this one and that one will be born in her. Cush, Ethiopia, those who are far off. Ethiopia was considered the furthest place in the world. And yet he says, Ethiopia is far off, is going to be numbered among those who are born in Zion. Notice in verse 4 where it says, this one was born there. It's in reference to these nations. It's saying these nations were born there. So it's talking about so many people being born there that you could say the nation was born there. Verse 5, when it says, this one and that one, the Hebrew reads, a man and man. And it's stressing the individuals that make up those nations. So God isn't just baptizing the nation, He's baptizing all of the individuals within that nation. God's dealing with nations here, and yet He's doing it by dealing with the individuals. So don't neglect or despise the day of small things. God is saving individuals, one person at a time. So notice that it says right after that that the Most High, for the Most High will establish her. The Most High is Elyon. He will establish His people and the churches individually. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 1. In verse 8 it says, "Who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1:8, who will sustain you. This word means to establish you. He will establish you or confirm you is another word for it. But it's saying that God Himself will establish His people until the end, till Christ returns. So when will this happen? I once asked a Jewish rabbi about the bringing in of the Gentiles, and he didn't hesitate to respond. He said, "Oh, that will be in the days of Messiah."
Amen.
That will be in the days of Messiah, he said. And that is in the days of Messiah. That is where we are. Turn to Psalm 22, in verse 27. Psalm 22 is that great passage that talks about the crucifixion of Christ, where it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." And it says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and return to the Lord," or turn to the Lord. "All the families of the nation shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations." So here it's talking about a time in the future when all the nations, all the ends of the earth shall remember what? Well, remember this deliverance where there's this person who was crucified and yet he was resurrected from the dead, and it says all the ends of the earth shall remember and repent to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. There's a commentary there's a commentary among the rabbis called Rashi's commentary that says this will happen during the days of Messiah. Turn to Amos 9, 11 and 12. Hosea, Joel, Amos. "In that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its branches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old. Yet at that time they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations that are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this." So notice it says, God's going to rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. That's the coming of Jesus, coming of the Messiah. And it says that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and that all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord, who does this. So it's saying that they may possess the remnant of Edom, or in another version has the remnant of the people. So it's talking about all the nations that God's going to possess during the time when the Messiah would come. The Messiah would come and this would happen. Look at Isaiah. This is another. Isaiah 11. Verses 9 and 10. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the people, the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the same passage that Paul cites in Romans chapter 15 when he's describing the mission of Jesus. In Romans 15, I'm going to start at verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. Sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So there at the end, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. This is because of that passage he cites in Isaiah 11, where he says, in him will the Gentiles hope. So he's saying that this is supposed to happen when the Messiah comes, that the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. And so this is supposed to happen in this age. Messiah's message is supposed to come and sweep the nations. So what is the significance of Yahweh numbering the people of Israel? Because in Psalm 87, it says, Yahweh records in verse 6, if you look at your scripture sheet, Yahweh records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Aren't you glad it's Yahweh who's recording the people?
Yeah.
It's him making that. It's not the Pope. It's not Muhammad, it's not anybody else. It's the Lord records as he registers the peoples. This one was born there. So I'd like to make some applications of this passage. This takes the tools. Oh, I missed one point. So what is the significance of the new birth? And We read it when we were reading our New Testament passages, Ephesians 2, in verse 12. It says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, as strangers to the covenants of promise." Once we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. But then down in verse 19, it says, "So then, after all this work that we read about how Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law and so forth, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets." You're no longer aliens and strangers. Strangers and aliens. Strangers from what? Strangers to the covenants of promise. You're no longer strangers from you're no longer alienated from the commonwealth of Israel or strangers from the covenants of promise. Those things have been done away by Christ. I mean, not done away, but the separation of the churches, I mean, the Gentiles from the Jews, are now brought together in fellow citizens. Not that the Gentiles are subsumed in some sort of subordinate role, but they are fellow citizens. They are born again in citizenship with Israel. So this takes away the tools of the Judaizers. Because being born in Zion, I have all my springs of blessings and of grace in her. Or as the Genevan Psalter says, the Zion, in Zion are the springs of my salvation. These are springs of blessing, springs of grace. And we are complete in Christ. In Him we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And so, anybody who tries to belittle you and say, "Well, you're not Jewish. You don't know Hebrew, or you're not Jewish enough." No, you were born in Zion.
Amen.
And in Zion you have all that you need, and you are complete in Him. The other thing is, can you imagine singing this psalm and your enemies are the Philistines? Or your enemies are Babylon. And so here you are, you have these enemies, and yet you're singing these psalms saying, it will be said of Zion, I mean of Egypt or Babylon, or Philistia or Cush, "This one and that one was born in you." We should be consumed with the glory of God such that when we think of our enemies, we can think of them as being converted to Christ. There can't be old grudges that remain in Zion, in the church. And the third application that I have is, have you been born again? Do you know the Lord? It says in this psalm, "I will make mention," or in the Hebrew it's literally, "I will make remembrance of those who know me." And then he lists Egypt and Babylon and Philistia and Tyre and Cush. Do you know the Lord? I would pray that you do. And if you don't, trust in Christ. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Become a part of the covenant community of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and for your word to us. Father, I pray that you would make it powerful to the conversion of our soul and the edification of our hearts. Thank you for your love for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.